We're going to listen again to the events of the first Christmas, and I've asked Luke England and Fraser Evans to come and read for us.
Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 2, verse 12, and this is on page 681 of the Church Bibles. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Do sit down, and in your Bibles, could you be turning to Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. It's page 823 of the Bibles in the pews. And do you remember what I was saying just before, that at Christmas, we celebrate not what we give to God, arrow up, but what God has given to us. Arrow down. And these verses from Paul's letter in Galatians just unwrap that gift, what God gave to us. They unwrap that gift for us. Let me read Galatians 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Let me pray. Let's ask for the Lord's help in understanding his word to us. Lord, thank you that you've not left us guessing about what you're like and what you've done for us. You've given us your word. And we pray that by your Spirit, as we look at these verses together, you would open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts, that we would see more of the Son whom you have given to us. More of what a wonderful gift he is. And we pray that in his name. Amen. God has given us his son, and I've got three gifts to help us to see why his son is such a wonderful wonderful gift to us. And I've got them on the piano over there. Let me just get the first one. But slightly awkwardly, I seem to be handcuffed. never mind. here is the first gift. I'd love a volunteer to open it up for me. Who could come and open this gift up? Help us to understand. James, do you want to come and open this? Okay, you open that. What do you think it is? You got any guesses as to what it might be?
Not yet.
Anyone else got any guesses as to what it might be? Someone's saying a key. It'd be nice if it were a key, wouldn't it? This is a little awkward. Oh, it's a rather fancy box. A box with a trophy in it, James thinks. Opens it up, and it is, what is it?
Keys.
Oh, it's keys. Brilliant. Okay, you hold on to that. You just sit down there for a moment. I'll need you in a moment. The first gift in the box are keys, and they're keys to remind us that Jesus has come to set us free. He's come to set us free. Now, this is where I'm going to be hopelessly out of my depth, because I'm using a PowerPoint. Look at that, blank screen, brilliant. Freedom, there we go. That's the first thing that's wonderful about this gift. He's come to give us freedom. Do you see that in verse 5, where it says, to redeem. That's what that word redeem means. It means to set us free. And you say, well, what do we need to be set free from? Well, you see what it says? To redeem those under law. Now, in this country, if you break the law, you know, if you mug someone for their mobile phone, or you fiddle your taxes, or you drive too fast too often, the verdict of the law is that you are guilty. And that's what happens. And it's the same with God's law. God says, will you love me with all your heart? And will you love your neighbor as yourself? And we don't. And the verdict of God's law on us is that we are guilty. But God gave his son to set us free. Do you see what it says? He's born of a woman. He's born of one as one of us. And he's born under law. As one of us, he lived under God's law. And he never broke it. He always loved his father with all of his heart. He always loved his neighbor as himself. He lived the life we should have lived. It means he's the one person in the whole of history who is not guilty. He's the one person who's not in prison, which means he's the one person who can come to set us prisoners free. I can't set myself free. I need James to come and set me free. James, can you set me free with the key that you've got? Really hoping the key works. Otherwise, the Brussels sprouts are going to go everywhere later on. Is that working? Just chat amongst yourselves. Well, anyone know anything about escapology? There we go. We've got one loose there. That's good. One hand for the Brussels sprouts. What about this one? Can you just... Brilliant. Thank you so much, James. Whew. Thank you very much, James. Big round of applause for James for setting me free. And friends, that's what Jesus does. He sets us free. And you say, how does he do that? He lived the life we should have lived. And that meant he could die the death we should have died. On the cross. Do you remember? He was born in a manger to die on a cross. And on the cross, the one person who was not guilty stood in the place of all the people who were guilty. For all that we had done, he paid. Which means there's nothing more for us to pay. So we can go free. It's freedom. Well, that's a blank screen. It's freedom that he brings us. And the danger is we get this all upside down. Where's my arrow? You see, we know that we've not loved God, and we know that we've not loved our neighbour as ourselves, and we're painfully aware that we are guilty, and so we try to pay God back by trying to be good. So we think we can kind of make it up to him by giving to charity and going to church and promising to never do it again. Well, if that's you this morning, Christmas says you will never, You will never be able to set yourself free from your guilt by trying to give to God. You never will. You've got the arrow the wrong way round. Christmas is about God's gift to us. He's given you a son. And for all that you have done, the son has paid. And the only way to be free from guilt is to receive the gift God has given us. To receive his son. I was reading about an elderly lady who was struggling to pay her rent. And her church had got together some money to pay her rent for her. And someone was sent round to give it to her and knocked on the door and no answer. They were sure she was in. They knocked again, but still no answer. And eventually they went away. And it turned out that the elderly lady didn't answer because she thought it was the landlord come to demand the rent. In fact, it was someone from the church come to give her the money. And some people think God has come to make us pay our debts. No, no. He's come to pay off all our debts for us. Friends, if you've arrived at these Christmas holidays weighed down by guilt, look at the gift God has given you. For all that you have done, he has paid. That means you're free. Second thing about the gift God has given us. I need another volunteer to unwrap another present for me. Can I have another volunteer? George, come and unwrap this. Let's see what this is. Any thoughts on what it might be? Any ideas? What do you think it might be? Can you unwrap that? What it is, it is a family photograph. It's a family photograph. Anyone get the Guinness Book of Records for Christmas? Nice one. Anyone hoping to get the Guinness Book of Records for Christmas? What? It's not really Christmas without the Guinness Book of Records. Anyway, this, in the Guinness Book of Records, is a photograph of the biggest family ever recorded. This is the Vasiliev family. Mum and dad and 69 children. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Mrs. Vasiliev gave birth to a total of 69 children, including 16 pairs of twins and 7 sets of triplets. Imagine how many Brussels sprouts they had to prepare at Christmas. It is a wonderful thing to be part of a family. And that's the second thing that's precious about the gift that God has given us. The Son has not just set us free. He set us free to know God as our Father. See, for many people, God is a kind of distant force. He's out there beyond the stars, and they might believe that he exists, but they don't love him, and worse, they don't think he loves them. But the fact that God has a Son shows us God is not a force. He's a Father. And do you see how much he wants us as his children? Do you see what it says? Look again at the verses. Verse 4. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, to set us free. Why? That we might receive the full rights of sons. See, Jesus is the Son of God. And he has the full rights of sons. He has the right to walk straight up to God and call him Father. But the Bible says, left to ourselves, we don't have that right to walk up to God and call him Father. But you see, God has sent his son to give us the full rights of sons. Jesus has come to give us all the rights that he has. So he stood in our place before the law, condemned, so that we can stand in his place before his Father, loved. See, when he entered our world, he was born of a woman. He became our brother. And now he says, look, brothers and sisters, come with me. I want you to come home and meet Father. It's a wonderful thing. He's been loved by his Father since before the beginning of time. But he doesn't keep his father's love to himself. He shares his father with us. And he gives us the kind of relationship with the Father that he has. And look at the kind of relationship we're talking about. Look at verse 6. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. When we receive God's gift of his Son, he sends us his Spirit. And the Spirit, he makes our relationship with God real. Real and very personal. Abba means daddy. It's a word a little child uses as he sits on his father's knee. And you see what it's saying? It's saying because of Jesus, that is the way we can now speak to the God of the universe. He's not just God. He's Abba. He's daddy. And he longs for us to tell him our day. Many years ago, there was an American soldier. And he got a letter home from home saying that his mother was very unwell. His mother was dying. And the letter asked if he could come home to see her. And to do that, he needed permission from his commander-in-chief, from the president, who was a rather curious-looking fellow called Abraham Lincoln. And he has one day's leave. And he goes to the White House, where Mr. Lincoln lives, and he tries to see the president. And there are hundreds of people waiting. And they all have appointments. And there are all these officials with clipboards who keep pushing him back and telling him to wait his turn. And the day is drawing to a close, and he gets desperate. And then Abraham Lincoln's son, a little guy called Tad, was in and out of his father's office. He was free to roam around the White House. And he spots the soldier sitting alone, looking sad. And he goes up to him. And he talks to him. And he hears his story. And he simply says, follow me. And the president's son, Tad, takes this soldier by the hand, past all the officials with their clipboards, and walks straight into the Oval Office. And when the president, Abraham Lincoln, saw the little boy, he says, hello, son, what can I do for you? And the little boy replied, Father, there is a man here who needs to see you. You see, by himself, the soldier couldn't see the president. But the son took him by the hand and led him into his father's presence. And friends, by ourselves, we can't come into the presence of God and call him Father. But Jesus takes us by the hand and leads us into his Father's presence. Do you see? For all eternity, the Son has been enfolded in the love of the Father, and now we are wrapped up in that love. The Son came and stood in our place before the law, condemned, and now we stand in his place before his Father, loved. His Father has become our Father. And again, I think we get this all upside down. Think of all the things we do to try and be someone. You know, if I came top, we say, or if I made the team, or if I got the promotion, or if I made people laugh, then I would be someone special. And the Bible says, no, we can't make ourselves someone special. But the good news is, God has made you someone special. He's given you his Son to make you his child. Which means if you're a Christian here this morning, you're not Cecil from Accounts. You are Cecil, son of God. You think, well, yeah, but I'm not very good at being his child. He won't want to listen to me. I'm not a very good child. Oh, he will want to listen to you. He will, because of Jesus. See, Jesus has brought you in, and Jesus said, Father, here are my brothers and my sisters, the ones I've set free to be your children. And the Father's never going to stop loving his Son, which means he'll never stop loving his Son's brothers and sisters, because the Son's brought us into him. So friends, know that the Father has taken you on as his child. And even when we mess up, and even when we're not much good at being his children, we're still his children. He's taken us on for keeps. This is very good news, isn't it? More than anything else, at Christmas, we want to be loved. Look at what God has given us. Christmas means whoever you are, whatever your story, there is someone who loves you. You have a Father in heaven who loves you with a love that is for always and forever. Final present. Where are we up to on my high-tech display? Freedom, Father. Future. Future. Final present means we have a future. Now, let me, where is the final present? Here we go. I need someone quite strong for this present. Probably quite sort of larger than your average child, possibly. Anyone? Can anyone come and help me on this? Nobody can come and help me on this. Oh, someone can come. Come on, Toby, come and help me. Are you feeling quite strong? Okay, could you unwrap that? Let's see what that is. You have a sense of what that is? Okay, I think to see what it fully is, you'll need to stand there and blow it up. Okay, so while you're blowing it up, good luck, Toby. Don't all look at him. That's just embarrassing. Look at verse 7. Oh, look at that. Brotherly love. Look at verse 7. Thank you very much, Luke. But give Toby a little bit to do. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Since you are no longer a slave, but a son, and since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Now, do you know what an heir is? An heir is someone who inherits the family fortune. And at first, I was quite bothered about all this language of sons. What about the daughters? And then I realized in the ancient times, it was the son who was the heir. And God is saying, whether we are daughters or sons, we are all joint heirs with Jesus. We will all inherit what Jesus will inherit. Now, what will Jesus inherit? The Bible says Jesus will inherit the whole world, the whole universe. But one day, just while we're waiting for the dramatic effect, I think I've got a... There we go. Just in case it all goes horribly wrong, I've got a picture on the screen to remind us what the world looks like. One day, God will make all things new. And all that's broken will be fixed. And all that is sad... He's doing a very good job. You just watch. His timing will be perfect. The promise is that all that's broken in this world will be fixed. All that's sad will come untrue. And it'll all be for Jesus. It'll all be for him. And the wonderful thing is he will share it with us. And in that world made new, every tear will be wiped dry. And we will enjoy life with him forever. Look at that impeccable timing. Just at the right moment, Luke has blown up the world. Hold it aloft. Yay. Thank you very much. Why don't you go and sit down too? As a reminder to the fact that... I'm going to throw it up in the air and we're going to watch it fall as a reminder that through Jesus we have freedom, we have a Father, and we have a future. We have a future. I better hold it as a visual aid. And I think we get upside down. We point the arrow up, don't we? We think if I do all the right things, I can secure my future. If I work hard and invest wisely and go to the gym and take regular fish oil capsules, I can secure my future. And that's why we worry, isn't it? It's why we worry about what the new year might bring. Because we know full well we can't secure our futures. So we worry. But instead of worrying next year, turn the arrow round. Look at the gift he has given to us. Here is a future that will never perish, never fade, or never spoil. A future with him in a world made new forever. So friends, as I close, if God had never given us his son, if the arrow was up, if the Christian life was all the things I was having to give to God, we'd never be free from guilt, we'd never know God as our father, and we'd never have a future. But the Christian life is not about what we give to him, it's what he has given to us. And if you've never really understood that before, look again at what he's given us. This Christmas would be a great Christmas, wouldn't it? To turn the arrow round, to see the gift he has given us, to look at his son and rejoice that we have freedom, we have a father, and we have a future because of what he has given to us. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift you have given us, the gift of your Son. And we pray that you would give us grace to receive him into our lives, into our hearts, that we might know freedom, that we might know you as our Father, and that we may have a future with you forever. Amen. We're going to sing again. And just have a look at the last verse, the words of the last verse. Where are they? They remind us of the future. And still the days are hastening on by prophets seen of old, towards the fullness of the time when comes the age foretold, then earth and heaven renewed shall see the Prince of Peace, their King. That's what we look forward to, earth and heaven renewed, when we'll see him and be with him forever.